Have a question or need how-to advice? Just ask Meta AI. Whether you want to design a marathon training program or you're curious what planets are visible in tonight's sky, Meta AI has the answers. It can also summarize your class notes, visualize your ideas, and so much more. It's the most advanced AI at your fingertips. Expand your world with Meta AI. Now on Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, and Messenger.
You're listening to a Hindustan Times podcast, brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi, this is Manjula Narayan, National Books Editor, Hindustan Times, and this is the Books and Authors podcast. It's a weekly podcast where I speak to authors who've got a new book out. Hi, so today we have with us Mamang Dai, who's edited In Search of the Indian Village, Stories and Reports. Hi, Mamang.
Hello, Manjula.
So, you know, Mamang, I mean, you're a poet and you've written so many books and, you know, and now you've edited this thing, this work. Now, why did you think of the Indian village, you know?
I'm writing such a lot about villages. A lot of my novels are based on stories from the village. But the actual proposal from LF publishing editor Ayanla Ozokum, she had mentioned it, and usually I don't do forewords and editing, but she said this will be, you know, on the Indian village and it might be interesting. I also thought it would be kind of learning process for me, you know. So finally, I think it was last September, maybe, yeah. And then, you know, all the material started coming in, and I actually found it quite rewarding. So that's how the book came about.
It's got a lot of things. I mean, it's got, straightforward stories like Ruskin Bonds, beautiful, the Blue Umbrella. And then it's got also historical kind of essays by Gandhi and by Ambedkar. And, you know, and also I remember I interviewed Professor Jodhka as well on his village book. So there's an interesting excerpt from that book, right? And also, so there's a great variety of pieces within this volume. So, you know, tell us about how you came to choose these particular pieces.
Well, it was actually, the fiction and then the non-fiction also, just to give it, to kind of get to the, what a village actually means. And I think with this selection, there's quite a lot of things that come up, actually, especially the criteria of what is a village. You know, I was also looking when I started Portion, I was thinking, what exactly is a village? We talk about villages in the Northeast, all our background is, village, 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 that kind of thing. But looking at the nonfiction pieces also, Professor Jodhka, and going back to Gandhi's idea of the village and all that, I thought this makes it, it gives it more kind of immensity for the whole book. And the fiction pieces, of course, are lovely. I had never actually read Vijayan Deitha unless in translation, so getting those stories also was really quite an eye-opener for me. So I hope this will also be, what the book will again make us relook at what a village entity or settlement actually is about. That sort of thing in mind.
And from your personal experience, why has this subject been interesting,
From my personal experience, I think, to be honest, one always says, the villagers are the source of our material, or say, going back to the village, whole of globalization is kind of doing that again to find stability, roots. But actually, villages, looking at it a bit more, is they're quite complicated entities also, I think. And That was the interesting part of the village. You know, I have cousins working in Anganwadis, and then there's all the national health missions, women and child development. All these come down to account of the village, actually. And then it makes you think a little bit more about how villages are sort of counted. You know, this is what Professor Jodhkar and people like even Mr. P. Sainath, they talk
Yes.
about this. It makes it, you know, it brings it closer to us. What really is a village, no?
Even as looking at P. Sainath's pieces, of course they're very funny also at some level. You know, he manages to even in all his writing actually that comes to there are some moments of comedy, like when he's talking about that landlord who's actually like the man, what the man eater from
The man eater
Manatu.
of Manatu, I think.
And the man comes
But
across as comic, but he's actually a villain, but a sorry sort of villain. So that sort of, is that why, how did you, even from that book, that I think it's Everybody Loves a Good Drought. So there's so many stories in that. So you picked out these particular ones. So I'd like to know, what was your selection criteria for these pieces? How did you decide on these particular pieces?
Well, selection criteria was not so much. It was also the Aleph team, you know, they sent a whole bunch of stories, essays, this kind of thing. So it was really sifting through them. And
Okay.
then I thought this was the best kind of mix, you know, because of course Sainath and people like that have been writing so much about different parts of the country also, and then bringing in humor and also the, you know, what might be terrifying in villages living under these circumstances, that kind of
Yeah.
thing. So
Yeah.
drawing this together, you know,
Yeah.
as you said, it's really funny, but it's also like quite horrendous sometimes when you think of these people. And then I think he even joins a party and says, you know, I will do good for tribals or the backward people, something like that. So these things actually do go on, I think, in our villages. In the country, villages.
And that particular piece also reminded me of that really fantastic but very scary and terrible Maa Shweta Devi story, Seed, translated from the Bengali by Ipshita Chanda. Oh my God, what a story that is.
I
So this one
know.
I hadn't read before, so I was quite struck by it. So let's talk about that. There within the books also there are some interrelations I felt,
Who, Mahashweta's?
Why is
Yeah,
Meeta
I
Devi?
had met Mahashweta when we were in this delegation to Frankfurt. That was some years ago. Of course, I didn't know much about her then, you know, I mean, her writings, I hadn't read everything, but there she was. And we were in some panel together, of course. And then, you know, the moderator was trying to take the microphone from her, and she was not letting go, you know, and he was saying she's got a grip of steel, that kind of thing. So at that point, you know, now it was coming back again, like how strong was her writing, you know, and how deep. It's so complex. You would never imagine somebody, you know, in these killing fields, kind of, and people being buried there and all. It's really amazing. So I thought this is also another aspect, you know, of rural India, actually, where the villages are located. Most of the villages are located what we call rural India.
And then when one goes ahead and reads both Gandhi and Ambedkar on the village, and how Ambedkar calls it a sink of what is he called? A sink of corruption, a sink of
Iniquity and
iniquity.
gossip, and you know, I think I really have to read all these again also, you know, after, because I was thinking this is, you know, what the book does. Of course, David Davida also has done a tremendous job coming up with his you know, the greatest stories ever told in all the different languages and things like that. So I think there'll be one, the Indian cities or something. I'm not sure. Huh? I hope I'm not just disclosing something inappropriately or something like that. But I think this was it was quite a nice book to do, and also for me, I feel happy with it. By the way, I don't have a copy yet. They sent copies, but I think it went back because I was traveling and things like that. I've seen the cover. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it's a nice cover. See, it's an interesting volume because also it makes you think, like especially the Professor Jodhkar's piece. It made me, as did his book actually, it made me think of how all these people like Nehru and Gandhi and Ambedkar to a very little extent, they accepted many of the Orientalist tropes that were
That's
kind
right.
of put on us. So, and out of those three, only Ambedkar sort of stepped apart, maybe because of his view from the other side, right? So
Well,
that's
that's
how.
very interesting because I think now you really feel like studying so many studies again, like academia, social issues, and where even I think Professor Jodhkar says the village itself, it's not only about caste. We think of, well, say Dr. Ambedkar said it's a den of iniquity and it's where caste lines are drawn. That's all there, but then again you get into the whole idea of caste and what it is. It's not just on religion, or there are so many other aspects of it, power, for example. So these are things one hopes to delve into. Maybe it's a bit late in the day, but still, it can change perceptions.
And I also found that piece on I can't remember. It's about, oh, that house, it's in the sea now. There. I think
Oh,
it's by
right.
Rahul M. Yeah. And this whole idea of how even in destruction, these people have found some sort of liberation at towards the end. I mean,
That's right.
I
With the
thought
sea, driving people away, and
Yeah.
the ones who stay behind kind of gain the most, as it
Socially, in a sense.
Yeah.
No, so that was
So it's
unexpected. Yeah.
interesting. I did think of, starting saying this is a colossal volume. Then I thought I better not go too overboard. There's still a lot to be kind of learned also. This is, but I think it's a very nice start, this book on Indian villages, In Search of the Indian Village. I think it's a nice volume.
What did you find anything
I
challenging
wonder
while
if
reading?
Aleph is listening. Huh? I'm just, it's not for them. This is from my personal view, for myself. I thought it was good for me also.
So I'm wondering, were there any challenges while you were doing it? Were there some, any obstacles that you had to work through, or was it
Well,
all
I had
smooth
all
going?
this manuscripts and the spelling in Mozo's story, Damodar Mozo. Now it's a complicated spelling, like Khoisan's cattle. In one of the manuscripts later, there were several copies. I saw it was a different spelling. I thought, Arey, my God, I better check this. But I didn't want to ask Mozo himself, though he's quite a close friend like that. I mean, I know him, I've met him. So I had to Google quite a lot again, and there I saw in one of the Goa papers it had been published as that spelling, which is in the book. So this was a little bit of a hiccup. I was trying to be very careful. But Damodar himself, recently in a literature festival here in Dibrugarh, he did say in his panel that he's rural India based actually, and he was talking about the store, a shop, and how every day he would sit and listen, cowbells tinkling past. Then they would tinkle back. Now, when they tinkled back, it meant the cattle hadn't been sold, So this was how the idea for the story came up. And I thought, thank God we put it in the book. It's so nice to know that.
I first read the story in that, I think Aleph only brought it out, the collection of Goan stories. I think Manohar Shetty had
Oh, Manohar Shetty's, yes.
he had
But I
edited it.
think it's a very sweet, kind of nuanced story, I feel, huh?
Yes. Yeah, very nuanced. Yeah.
All the stories were really good, I think.
Yeah.
Even
Yeah.
countless Hitlers, we drive on that
Yes.
highway, you know, the
Yes.
Jaipur,
Yeah.
Delhi, and then of course Ajmer. And to think, you know, how these things come into play. So
Yeah.
villages and villages are not so simple also. There's always that power play, you know. I
Of
think this
course.
is what Professor Jodhkar and people are trying to say also in a way, you know, in social studies, that there's always power dynamics. Villages are changing also so much. Even Arunachal here, like we were mainly, there were no towns as such in 1972, even up to 1972. But now, like, there's very little difference. If we go to the districts, they have everything, all the, frozen goods. I never thought I'd see frozen octopus and squid and all here, even in Itanagar. But now it's there in the more rural areas also. So the lines kind of are starting to merge. I don't know if that's good or what it means for the country, you know. Now it's election time, of course, everyone is getting all excited. You know, villages are being ruled again. So I think I'm looking at new at it, you know, with a new perspective also, maybe after the book and reading all the great writers of the past and those now which we've put in, you know.
You know, and I always used to like when I read the book, it struck me that some of these ideas that we, like one has internalized, you know, that the villages are more pristine than the city,
Yes,
or you know, which may or may not be true. I mean, considering city pollution, yeah, they are more pristine. But in other ways, like you know, I don't know. Generally, people in the cities think that villagers are more pure-hearted, or you know, and so this book kind of makes you think that. No, not
There's
really.
countless Hitlers lurking around. But
True.
there's another story by Damodar Bozo, actually, that I think it's in the title of the same name, Mirage, short stories. There's this city dweller who works in a factory, you know, all the noise, and then he's retiring, so they give him a little birthday farewell, and all he wants is like to find peace, you know, somewhere where it's quiet and by a stream or something. And he goes off on this search, which takes him here and there on a train, gets off at some place he's never been to before, and then into a jungle. You know, he was always wanted to be with trees and nature, like that pristine nature. And he meets someone who says, "You're looking for peace. Don't go to the village. You go, you look for it within yourself," that kind of thing. So I thought that story was quite telling also, you know. It was a mirage. He comes back to the city, somehow stumbles, you know, after sort of rather horrible adventures that he's had in search of this peaceful village. And there was an extension offer open to him. So he joins the factory again. Something like that, I think it was. Yeah, mirage. So it is a bit of a illusion, I think, the idea of a peaceful village, you know. Villagers, just like everywhere, wherever there is human settlement, I suppose there's bound to be all this, you know, areas of conflict.
And but like how Ambedkar recognizes that one can be freer, at least socially, in a city, and it's quite impossible, perhaps, no, in a village to be that free.
Yes, the community, the entrapment, it's all very well to say. Even I tell my you know, lots of relatives, sisters, my band of sisters who are all rural based. They come to Itanagar looking for jobs or city life even. And you can't tell them, you know, it's much better there, because it's also, if you're a little bit different or you want to do something else, that close-knit community, it's very difficult to break out of that, you know, apart from gender and other things also. It's just the feeling of kinship, you know, and you're supposed to do things in a traditional way, which is how villages also survive, I suppose, because it's like from mother to sons, daughters, you know, the whole genealogy and this word of mouth, the tradition passing down, but the anonymity of the city, even I look for that. You know, I love being anonymous in a city or by some seaside resort, just want to be anonymous. So there's so much freedom, no, in that. But for that, I think Mr. Jodhkar and other social scientists would say, then you need to have the wherewithal also to know or want that kind of freedom. So it's quite complex, maybe.
Yeah. And when I was reading the stories, I was thinking that, you know, I mean, this came up even when I was like reading the book edited by Arunava, which is also a collection. I think it's Aleph only, collection of the best Indian short stories. And, you know, I think that's where I read the I think the O.V. Vijayan is included in that also. I'm not mistaken. You know, those really tragic stories which kind of hits you at the end.
Yeah.
You know, so. And this thing about, you know, in our fiction, like right through the subcontinent, we seem to be having this sort of tragic vision, you know. So do you think that? Because in all the stories you've picked also, except for Damodar Mauzo story, which is also, you know, touches your heart, but it's not that level of tragedy. The others, like the Vijayadan Detha, the O.V. Vijayan, and Mahashweta Devi stories, you know, they kind of slap you and you just feel, oh my God.
Yeah, where it's really, really, you know, it's kind of taking your life away, no?
Yeah.
So I think that's why, you know, it's interesting reading these stories also. As an eye-opener, you know, how the other half lives. I know the other, In Search of Rats, of course, he said, you know, beauty parlors are coming in and the village and cities are drawing closer, you know, they're growing side by side. But in some instances, in most instances, I think still, there's, it's really quite unimaginable, you know, village life, like the grinding destruction of, you know, all your hope and how you have to put up with it. The level of patience a human being needs to have to survive in situations like this in villages, I think it's really quite heartbreaking, no?
Yes.
The hanging was really...
Yeah. It's just too much. I mean, I remember reading it
and people are so patient and so good. And, you know, they're taking it like, okay, it's what is our lives are about. But it makes you also really want to be a little bit more of an activist kind of thing, no? In social issues and maybe, you know, in all the government agencies that are churning out money for, you know, village level this, village level that, workers, health, missions, water, sanitation. But maybe it's not really happening also.
No, like I just recently went to a village in Meghalaya and, you know, I was quite struck by how, like some of these government schemes have actually worked, at least at, you know, one, I was always very skeptical, but this about the toilets, the building of toilets, there were toilets everywhere in that village. I was very impressed by that because it's a big change, you know, isn't it? Like, I don't know about the other schemes and all. And like when I'm reading this book,
that
I
is
was
also
thinking,
happening. Yeah. But just at the policy level, I think, you know, people talk so much about all this national livelihood missions and, you know, water and sanitation departments, that kind of thing. But I guess it takes a long time. We have such a lot of villages also in the country, you know.
Yeah.
So, but it was interesting to, you know, look at these things. Apart from, I know the regional villages, you know, in our part of the world, but across the country, to see these things, especially Ashweta Devi's, you know, the seed and how different it is also. Villages also are so different one from the other, depending on the region, the people, maybe the culture, things like that.
Yeah.
So that was also interesting for me and something to learn, something I've learned.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, each region of the country, like I think one of the essays points out that even all three, Gandhi, Nehru and Ambedkar kind of like looked at this, looked at the villages as, in a certain way, but there's a great regional variation, diversity within India, right? Like certain caste, even now that's the case, isn't it? Because caste might be oppressing people in one place, but in somewhere else it's not. We've moved beyond in some few places. So I guess the village is also a dynamic, changing entity, no?
Changing, yes, and but always it's a kind of power game, I think. Who has the power? We used to have village councils which were set up there. In fact, it was recognized as an administration of justice system from colonial times till date, and the village council had the power, to adjudicate. They wouldn't mete out punishment as such, no capital punishment, but because they were supposed to be men of integrity and people respected them and all, they would discuss any kind of crime for ages, days, months even, and they'd come to a kind of negotiated solution or settlement. But now it's quite different because money values have come in and things like that. So villages also have changed quite a lot, I think. Though at the start, originally, they were also different one from the other, in different parts of the country. So that's village stories. You've come to Arunachal any time,
I've
Manjula?
never come to Arunachal. I haven't been to
You
Arunachal, but
must.
yeah, I will definitely. It's on my list. So, and this the same Amitava Kumar story, there's this great line that made me think a lot in Rats.
The rats, yes.
Yeah, in The Rats, which is a great piece. Let me just find it. The Rats Guide. Writers often marshal inordinate zeal when portraying the misery of the downtrodden and the oppressed. It is only a form of narcissism. The writer, enamored of his or her sensitive self, faithfully recording the pain of others. And then he talks about, this is when he's talking about that scene where he like
The frying rats or in the
yeah
field and laughing together, and obviously there will be great moments of joy, but I think there's also a point there. I think that line also struck me that, but it's always both sides, writers. I think the key word here would be writers, people looking for things to write about. And even Sainath, I think, in his journalistic experience, like it's the Indian villages are always good material,
Yes.
however tragic or sad or funny or even ridiculous it might be. But this is what happens, I think, with writers also. We're looking for a story maybe, and a lot of the stories come from villages or places where we don't actually live. It's easier to portray sometimes, maybe. You think?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think that maybe, but maybe it's easier to imagine what it's like. I don't know.
Actually, if you're not living there, maybe, of course, Amitabha is coming from elsewhere, he lives elsewhere. But I think the piece also brought home some points, like how food also can make one purer than the other, that kind of food taboos. So that was also quite interesting. But as you read it and delve into these pieces, you really think it's so marvelous that actually there are people writing about so many aspects of village life, or just say life in India, with its villages, cities, towns, that kind of thing.
When he says that there's this bit where he points out that villages are and it's still true. Having been educated in Britain, he took the Eurocentric ideas of evolution and modernity as facts of life or modes of scientific thinking. And I think now we are still like that in many ways. No, we still think And how did that strike you while you were doing this book, you know? And how does one get out of this, you know, about still, you know, thinking of ideas of evolution and modernity in a Eurocentric way, you know?
Yeah, I think, well, some of these ideas are so ingrained. I think even for us, you think of modernity as one thing when actually villages might have been quite modern also, if you start delving into things, and maybe we have this idea that, well, at least I always thought a village is a place, where you were coming from. It was the place you left to go out into the big cities, that kind of thing. And people talk about sustainable development, the village also growing side by side with the cities. But I don't know. I think a better way might be, it will depend on the people themselves, I think. After all, villages are human settlements, and people who live there or who don't want to move or change, maybe they have something to tell us also in the long run. I don't know. No? Of course, it'll change, but it should change, of its own kind of, I don't know if the word for it is organically or something, without change makers rushing there and saying this is how it should be and we'll have a model village. Why have a model village in the first place? Villages are villages, cities are cities, and both are equally good, important for us, I think. I don't know how you feel about, maybe there'll be no more villages in, say, another couple of decades or something, or
Think so?
will the village always survive as a village entity, or how we think of what we think of as a village? Now I just think of a village as, oh, okay, it's a settlement where people live, and it's just as good or just as bad as being in the city. It's only the new cultures of things or being able to have things. Maybe this has kind of displaced the balance a little bit. But I like the idea of still having a village, with not exactly old people, but like old timers you can always rely on. Maybe we need it for our own sakes, I don't know. And then one day we'll be in the village and say, Manjula, please come, I'm still here, that kind of thing. But some kind of continuity, I think, is what the village offers. I don't know.
Now we tend to think of Gandhi as a bit flaky when it comes to his ideas about things like village life and all, or at least we did for a long time. But now with the climate crisis and all, you know, his ideas again seem to, like some of them, you know, talking about, say, you know, some of them seem to have some relevance, you know, still. So, do you think there'll be a point when, I don't know, like as there are climate refugees, you know, there will be more, right? And who'll seek to return to the land in some way, and then there'll be a new sort of rural regeneration in a sense, you know? There might be now, because how long can you live with pollution? There, you know.
Yeah, rural regeneration also, but in most cases we've seen this regeneration of people returning. This is also a kind of, in what falls under that sustainable development term, which I'm very, very wary about, because the moment you say sustainable and development together, it's kind of opposing views, and you want development for the villages, you want electrification, roads. So then ultimately everything is changed and you become one like the other. So in the end, there'll really be no refuge except more displacement of people who are living in villages with their own, conditions. And you'll have the new, let's say, the climate refugees coming in and displacing these people. Already, there's so many migrants, I think, all from the villages. We saw what happened during the COVID lockdown also, no? Remember the migrants from Maharashtra here, there, you can't get home. So I don't know, human populations, it's difficult to predict also what might be the outcome.
I
I think we'll really have to reread and, Mr. Jodhka and people like that who are doing such a lot of work, study, serious study on these issues.
Yeah, I often wonder, I mean, whether there will be a point where, because of how the, I don't know, the world is going with, with some places, I mean, facing serious issues, ecological issues, there might be a reverse sort of trend. Who knows? We don't know.
Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah.
And we say sustainable, but when you say development, you just want to sustain that development. If you're talking about, say, Eurocentric development, then you say sustainable development, but the development is still for the manufacture of cars anyway. But how to
Yes.
make it sustainable? So much energy, and so again, you'll have a new set of things to sustain this. That's what I feel, So it's, I think if we just took a deep breath and stepped back a bit and just didn't have any human intervention on anything for some time, that might work out better in the long run. I don't know, I'm just saying.
Okay. Okay, so what is this putting together this book? What how has it affected you? I know you've been saying
I think the greatest takeaway is it's got a lovely cover, and then I'm having this interview podcast with you, Manjula. So that's all making me feel quite nice, apart from, just writing poetry about or talking about Northeast literature. I feel quite good, actually, and I'm very thankful to Ayanna and David also for bringing this forward, because it's kind of covering so many of the great Indian writers, across our country. And I just met M.J. Thomas, who was also here in this literature festival just recently, Ruger.
AJ Thomas.
A.J. Thomas, right, yes. And he said, it's, I said, did you like the book? He said, it's excellent work. So I felt quite happy about that. And it's not just about, the our region. It's across, along with the reportage, the journalistic pieces also. I think that was very interesting for me, and it was a great honor also doing it.
And it was interesting because it wasn't just stuck to just stories. It also had reports and essays like
Makes you think
Amitabha's.
about, yeah, Gandhiji again, and what Nehru was saying, even Ambedkar. So a lot of things to reread also.
That's one thing about the book. It made me want to
Huh.
reread many of these things, So that's great. Okay, so are you working on anything else right now?
Not at the moment. Maybe I'll try some short stories or something. There's such terrific short story writers in this book. I think that was really great also to read them again.
Okay, so great. So then, for the listeners, go out and get In Search of the Indian Village, Stories and Reports, edited by Mamang Dai. It's a great book. It's wonderful. And like our conversation, touched on, it's got essays and it's got really great stories, the classic stories, and which, kind of shake you up and, of course, makes you want to again reread Ambedkar and Gandhi and Nehru. All those figures as well. Thank you so much, Mamang, for talking to me.
Hey, Manjula, thank you so much. Thank you for your interest. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye then. Bye for now.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HD Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.
Have a question or need how-to advice? Just ask Meta AI. Whether you need to summarize your class notes or want to create a recipe with the ingredients you already have in your fridge, Meta AI has the answers. You can also research topics, explore interests, and so much more. It's the most advanced AI at your fingertips. Expand your world with Meta AI. Now on Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, and Messenger.